Before Deary could say more, and he clearly had a lot to say, Ebersole put a hand out to his chest, shushing him. Deary seemed to deflate. He'd had his chance and fluffed it. Later, he'd perhaps tell himself it was because he was tired, while we'd spent the day in the nice warm lounge playing cards and shooting holes in our future. Deary had been outside shoveling snow and sanding walks so brittle old psychology professors wouldn't fall down and break their hips. He was tired, a little slow on the draw, and in any case, that prick Ebersole hadn't given him a fair chance to prove himself. All of which probably didn't help much with what was happening right then. He had been set aside. The grown-up was back in charge. Papa would fix. "I think it behooves us all to identify the fellow who did this and see he's punished with some severity," Ebersole continued. Mostly it was Nate he was looking at. Amazing as it seemed to me at the time, he had identified Nate Hoppenstand as the center of the resistance he felt in the room. Nate, God bless his molars and wisdom teeth, was more than up to the likes of Ebersole. He remained standing with his hands on his hips, and his eyes never wavered, let alone dropped from Ebersole's. "How do you propose doing that?" Nate asked. "What is your name, young man? Please." "Nathan Hoppenstand."
"Well, Nathan, I think the perpetrator has already been singled out, don't you?"
Ebersole spoke in a patient, teacherly way.
"Or rather, singled himself out. I'm told this unfortunate fellow, Stokely Jones, has been a walking billboard for the broken cross symbol since..."
"Quit calling it that," Skip said, and I jumped a little at the raw anger in his voice. "It's not a broken anything. It's a damn peace sign."
"What is your name, sir?"
"Stanley Kirk. Skip to my friends. You can call me Stanley." There was a tense little titter at this, which Ebersole seemed not to hear.
"Well, Mr. Kirk, your semantic quibble is noted, but it doesn't change the fact that Stokely Jones, and Stokely Jones alone, has been displaying that particular symbol all over campus since the first day of the semester. Mr. Dearborn tells me..."
Nate said, "Mr. Dearborn doesn't even know what the peace sign is or where it came from, so I think you'd be sort of unwise to trust what he tells you very far. It just so happens I've got the peace sign on the back of my own jacket, Mr. Ebersole, so how do you know I wasn't the one with the spray paint?" Ebersole's mouth dropped open. Not much, but enough to spoil his sympathetic smile and magazine ad good looks. And Dean Gerritsen frowned, as if presented with some concept he couldn't understand. One very rarely sees a good politician or college administrator caught completely by surprise. They are moments to treasure. I treasured that one then, and find I still do today.
"That's a lie," Deary said. He sounded more wounded than angry. "Why would you lie that way, Nate? You're the last person on three I'd expect to..."
"It's not a lie," Nate said. "Go on up to my room and pull the peacoat out of my closet if you don't believe me. Check."
"Yeah, and check mine while you're at it," I said, standing up next to Nate. "My old high school jacket. You can't miss it. It's the one with the peace sign on the back."